read at the 33rd verse and reading through to the 46th verse. This is the only parable in which Jesus inserts himself within it. Because it's a parable about a landowner who leaves his vineyard, which has a tower and a wine press, and it's beautiful in its own right, to those who are taking care of it. And he goes on a long journey. And the owner is God, and the tenants of the vineyard are the religious hierarchy in Jerusalem. Because we know this parable is kind of stuck between Jesus' triumphal entry at the beginning of chapter 21, and then he cleanses the temple because the temple has become a place of covetousness. It's become a place where everything is bought and sold, and somehow the religious factor in worship life has been long expunged and forgotten. And then Jesus begins to tell parables against those who will, in the Jewish hierarchy, take him to trial and will execute him as a capital criminal. So this parable is addressed against them, and they are the tenants who the landowner cares about and has given them this vineyard. But the landowner then sends servants to collect the fruit that they've supposed to reaping, I guess. And what happens is that they kill and they stone and they torture those sent to them. And what is clear is that these are the prophets of the Old Testament who were sent and were rejected by God's people. And we know that every single prophet was rejected. Not only verbally, but in the case of in 2 Chronicles, the prophet Zechariah is stoned to death. And there was a legend that Isaiah himself was sawn in two. And every prophet that was sent, the great prophet who opposed Ahab was thought of committing suicide. So it was really a tough sell. And then the landowner sends his beloved son. And I think we all know who that is. And they also treat him shamefully and kill him. So that's what the parable is about. And how do we relate that? It's a difficult relationship to our lives. The great reformer Martin Luther once said that often texts like this, you have to squeeze in order to get something of the gospel that relates to you and me. So we'll try to do a little squeezing anyway and see what happens. And Jesus said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time. And the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, the owner said. But when the tenants saw the son, they came to each other and said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And the scribes and Pharisees said, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent the vineyard to the other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What we know about God is that God is always seeking us out in love. What we know about God is that God is always seeking us out in love, and he does it when we're lost. Somehow it seems we're more amenable to the power of the Spirit when things aren't going well and when we're lost. And so you have those wonderful parables in Luke 15 the lost son, the prodigal son, who is lost and decides to leave his father's home, ergo God, and go out and squander his inheritance on loose living, whatever that means. And then he comes home. He's lost, but his father says now he's found. And the two parables which precede that are even more radical. The parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus says, the shepherd, and I'm the shepherd, Jesus says, goes out. You have 99 sheep, but there's one who is lost, and the shepherd goes out and will find that lost sheep and bring it home. And when I was a little boy, one of my favorite paintings was of it was a Norwegian artist who shows Jesus kind of reaching out and clasping toward a sheep that is on a precipice about to fall. I've never forgotten that painting, and I'd like to find it someday. And then what's even more radical is the parable of the lost coin, where a woman sweeps her house up and down to find that one lost coin. And if we're like lost coins, that means sometimes we're lost and we don't know it. Sometimes we're lost because we don't have any emotional response, whatever. We have no affect. We are like an inanimate object. We have no... A sheep at least can turn and see where its Savior is coming from. A lost coin can't do that. So Jesus says, you know, sometimes we're like lost coins and God loves us so much. Christ will grasp us and bring us home to where we need to be. So we get this idea that God loves us in our lostness and is going to work in us. And Jesus says, you know, people who don't need a physician because they're not sick, they don't need me, but I have come as a physician. When I was working in the Mohawk Valley, there was a wonderful woman named Catherine Feldstein, whose husband was a doctor. And back then, it wasn't that long ago, in this country community, he made house calls. And the one photograph she had of him, so I don't need any other photographs of my husband, just one photograph. And it wasn't even of his face. It showed his back turned to the camera. He was mostly bald-headed with a little fringe around there. He almost looked like a monk in some way. He had his black physician's bag, and he was walking through drifts to get to someone who was sick. That's what a real medical doctor is. And that's what Jesus is. Walking through drifts that we might be whole and healed and safe. That's the power and that's the strength of our faith. Well, I want to get into some of the details here and say, you know, this tells us something about love from the owner's side and from the tenant's side as well. When we look at the owner, we can say that this parable is different because Jesus keeps knocking. It's not that Jesus saves the lost, but even when we decide that we're going to remain lost, Jesus doesn't let us go. Revelation 3:20 says that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens that door, I will come in and dine with that person. When he hears my voice, we'll have a great party." So Jesus is persistent in pursuing us. And I wonder if that means for us, if we take that side of the owner, whether we are persistent in love. Are we persistent in love? If someone spurns us, can we kind of accept that and say, well, that person's having a tough day, but that's not going to discourage me from knocking on that door again and saying, you need what I have to offer. You need my love, you need my faith, you need whatever. But your hard-heartedness will not keep me away from your door. In fact, that might stimulate me more to do what I need to do. How many of you persist in love? God sent the prophets, and when that didn't work, God sent His only Son. When that didn't work, God sent you and me, the church. And we're going to work. So, you know, we have to be persistent in love. If I'm a little tired and I'm a little disjointed this morning, forgive me, because I went to a wedding last night and I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was observe and then pretty much dance the night away, which I did. I danced with the bride. I danced with the bride's mother. I would have danced with the groom, but he didn't dance very well, so I didn't dance with him. I would have danced with the dog, because they had a dog in the service. That was amazing, you know. I said, would you like to dance? And the dog said, no, I can't keep up with you. That's all right. I'll just stay on the side. But one of the things that the person who married them said is that, and one of the things I had found out about the couple is that they're both very bright, and they're both very competitive. They rock climb, and they ski, and they swim, and they're Californians, you know? So they do all that stuff. They're very competitive. And someone said, I think the pastor or whoever he was said, you know, one of the wonderful things is that they're a challenge to each other. They're a challenge to each other. And did you ever look at love as that? Love is persistent. And maybe, as M. Scott Peck says in The Road Less Traveled, maybe he's right. And he says, you know what marriage is for? It kind of shears off our egotism. And it makes us humble. And it's a challenge to love someone maybe that you're living with on a day-to-day basis. I don't know that, but I'm told that. You know, but maybe that's what love is about. It's persistent. And if someone rejects our love, we just have to kind of not take it personally and just say that person has had a bad day. And then go on and continue to love. You know, some of you, how many of you subscribe to one magazine or more, right? And then you have unsubscribed. Have you ever unsubscribed? And then maybe 2 years later you get a notice in the mail saying, we'd love to have you back again. We'd love to have you back again. That's God. That's the Trinity. We'd love to have you back again. We'd love to have you in church again. We'd love your faith to grow again. We'd love you to be strong. Because God is persistent, we are called to be persistent as well. Now let me do the inverse here and look at us at the tenants. God gives us people to love. And as I've suggested, sometimes the people God gives us to love challenges us. And that's why it's hard for us to love them, maybe. Because God has sent them to us, and part of the sending means that they're going to teach us about God. And sometimes we'd rather not learn those lessons because they're difficult. But at other times, I think, God just sends us people to love because He knows that we're lonely, we're hurt, we're sulking, and whatever. And God says, I'm going to keep sending you people until you open your heart and let someone in. Because, you know, if we've been ever hurt by love, our heart often grows calluses, doesn't it? Oh, our heart grows stony, doesn't it? And we say to ourselves, I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to allow myself to be vulnerable to love. I'm never going to let anyone else hurt me. I didn't fall off the turnip truck or the apple cart or whatever yesterday. Oh boy, I am not naive. I'm a full card-carrying member of the 21st century, and I'm as cynical as the rest. And God says, put that aside and open your heart. I know you've been hurt. God says, I've been hurt. My son died on a cross for you. I know you've been hurt. But just try. One more time. Just open your heart just one more time. And let me fill it with my spirit. And let me fill it with someone special for you. Let us open our hearts today and stand and greet one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.